Welcome to Sell Like You, the ultimate sales podcast that will teach you how to make sales your superpower, transform your mindset, and in doing so, explode your sales beyond your wildest dreams. I'm Harriet Meller, and over the last 17 years, I've helped hundreds of top companies around the world, including my own, make more money and qualify more leads using simple strategies that work. In this podcast, you'll learn how I generated over 10 million in annual sales, along with the sales techniques, processes, and tools that will work for you to generate more dream-aligned clients and scale your business beyond what you thought was possible. If you're sick of the boring, outdated, and pushy sales tactics of the past, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Sell Like You podcast with me, your host, Harriet Meller. And we are back. I have been off for a couple of weeks. The podcast has still been running, but we are back and I am starting right at the bottom for you today. We're going to be looking at the different names and the different functions for things like opportunities, for prospects, for leads, whatever you're calling them. There are so many different words and so many people use so many different things. And so I thought, let's start there for today's episode. So today we're going to be diving into what we call them, why we call them, their different functions. We're also going to look at lead gen and a couple of other nuances and activities around lead generation, which I think is really going to add some value to your process if you are in sales. Now, you can absolutely call anything that I'm going to share with you today. You get to name them. It's your choice. You are the owner of your destiny when it comes to naming sales functions and steps and stages. But I'm going to give you some examples as to what we use and what they are commonly known as so that you can make a decision or determine what you would like to call them either within your business or within your sales function, depending on your role. Now, the activities for the roles or naming these roles is just going to be really key for consistency and to get you and your team on the same page. Now, if we look at an opportunity, a lead, a prospect, a client even, we often call them different things depending on what our experience has been of them or what your team's experience has been of them so far. So I'm going to start off by jumping into that. As I mentioned, we're going to look at lead gen. We're going to look at what to do when they don't reply and the different stages as well as how to track them. So it's going to be a bit of a juicy episode today. So for me, I'm sharing with you what I use, what I recommend my clients use, and ultimately what is the best practice in the industry as well. So if we start off with an opportunity. Now, an opportunity is an ideal client in my view. It's an ideal client, someone we'd like to work with. Maybe we're lacking a bit of information. Maybe we're lacking confirmation of a problem that they may have. Now, using an example of maybe going back to listen to a Replicate Ideal Clients episode, looking at the templates that we use, essentially in that world, when we're looking at opportunities, we're saying, let's find some of the ideal clients we're already working with and let's identify opportunities elsewhere. So they're going to be an opportunity. So we know that they're ideal for us. We know that we'd like to work with them, but we don't have maybe everything we need to know. And we maybe don't have the confirmation from them that there is a problem and that that problem is there for us to solve as well. Now, the second one down we're going to look at is leads. So these are ideal clients. So again, they're an opportunity that's filtered into a lead, and they are going to be our clients with an identified problem. So they're going to be the same as an opportunity, but we know that we've identified a problem. They've confirmed there is a problem there for us to fix. Now, we've also got prospects. I'm sipping my coffee while I talk to you today. We've got our prospects as well. So these prospects are currently in your lead funnel and you are communicating with them. So we go opportunity, ideal client. We don't know enough. We haven't got confirmed. We've then got lead, which is ideal client with confirmed problem. We've then got prospects who are currently in your lead funnel and you are communicating with them. We've then got client, confirmed, converted, and paying. Okay. So these are the four that we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to talk a little bit more about lead gen with these ones today. So I want you to think about, would those four fit into your current realm for you or your team? Are they the words or the language that you're using? Would you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? I'm totally cool with you disagreeing with me. And so we need to look then at how we're going to fit that into our CRM, our pipeline management, and how we're going to deal with them, because they're going to have different behaviors. They're going to have different awarenesses of what it is that you do and how you can support them as well. So if we look at our beginning one, so let's go back to opportunities. So we know that they exist. We maybe know who the ideal connection or contact would be. And then we then know then who it is that we want to be able to go ahead and have a conversation with. So these in our opportunities are ideal clients, and maybe we think there may be a problem. So if we go back to replicate, when we look at replicating ideal clients, we're looking at somebody that's potentially in a similar industry, similar organization size that we anticipate have a similar or the same challenge that they would like to overcome. Now, we don't know for sure because we haven't spoken to them yet. So that's our opportunity there. So in our opportunities vertical, we're going to be looking at gathering more data. So we might use LinkedIn to do that. We might use Lucia or Zoom Info or other platforms to be able to gather the right information. We maybe want to start with, especially if we're breaking into a new industry vertical, we may want to start with a phone call. The phone call may be around, we're seeing this challenge or this problem elsewhere. Would you agree that that is similar for you? Would you agree that that's something that you're also facing? If this is not a new industry challenge, then we can use the successes from another. So let's say I used one this morning with a client who was looking at local government agencies. So local governments, we know they have a problem. This was in work health safety management, so not technology as a surprise. Work health safety management, they were looking at building a methodology statement for work health safety to update their current safety management systems. Now, in that world, we know that other agencies are going to have to comply with the same rules, the same compliances. What's the word? The same compliances within their industry. So we are going to be able to assume quite confidently that the opportunity there at that local government is going to be very similar to the other. The difference is that they may already have done it. They may already have somebody in. It may not be on their roadmap for the next 6 to 12 months, but we can have that conversation. So by using successes or challenges we've seen elsewhere, we're able to bring them back. So in our opportunities, we know we need to gather more information. We've got all that information at our fingertips beautifully, and we are able to then go out and either do our due diligence if it's a new vertical, or we can use our successes to communicate via email, via LinkedIn, via phone call, via post, at a networking event, for example, to be able to confirm. And that then may move them into a lead. So as we know, leads are our ideal clients with an identified problem. We know that they have confirmed that problem. So for example, let's say we've heard about this on the grapevine in our networks. We know, or we've heard, that there is a problem brewing. There's a challenge. They're going to market. Whatever that may be, they can now be identified as a lead, or they maybe have told us directly, again, identified as a lead. So at that point, we want to get in there, have conversations, do our qualification, find out a little bit more, make it super relevant to them. And that way, we're going to be able to manage those leads in a different way, because we're looking at our meetings, we're looking at demonstrations, we're looking at showing value, adding value, educating. And again, the content you're sharing on LinkedIn should be correlated to that. If you're spending this week reaching out to a certain vertical or focusing on a certain challenge, we want to be sharing content that's relevant to that through our emails, through our LinkedIn, through our value-driven follow-ups as well. Okay, so everything we do links in, whether it be an email, whether it be a phone call, whether it be our due diligence, whether it be our LinkedIn, whether it be conversations we're having. Again, asking for information out of pure curiosity at this stage is also going to be a big win for you as well. Okay, so opportunities into leads. We've now got prospects. So prospects are people we're meeting with, we're having conversations with, we are creating or designing proposals for, we are moving them through that funnel. They are now a prospect because they are in there and we are communicating. They know who we are. They know that we exist. They know that we could potentially solve a problem for them, and we are having those conversations with them ongoing. Okay, so a great place for them to be. Now, it's our job at that point to take them through a beautiful sales funnel that's going to educate and communicate and take them on a journey of what it's going to be like to work with you. So that may be giving them examples. It may be sharing case studies. It will be making the communication and process super specific and relevant and tailored to them, because that's where we're going to be able to get the most out of it. We've then got our clients. Now, this is our conversion of prospects to clients. And that means they are converted, they are paying, they are in your ecosystem, and they're having a wonderful experience because they're now working with you. We can then go through to our next round. So we've then got them in as a client. We go, let's replicate these. We go back through, we identify opportunities, we identify more problems or challenges or ways that we can work together. They move into leads. Once we've got them in leads and they say, yes, we're happy to engage with you or communicate with you, have these conversations, they go into prospects, we take them through our sales process. And at the end, we hope to convert them into a client. Now, if at any point between leads and prospects or prospects and clients, they drop off, they don't go through your beautiful process, they're identified as maybe not an ideal client, or they're maybe not ready for you right now, they can sit then through into our leads. And we need to nurture them at that lead sequence. If we never get them out of opportunities into leads, they'll just stay there. We can keep connecting with them. We can keep communicating with them. We can add so much value that when they are ready or when that problem arises, they know who to come to as well. Okay, so we can see how that lovely circle is going to work for them. And we're able to then communicate with them effectively. But we all know within our organization, within your team, what language or what wording or how we're identifying those at different stages. And we're all on the same page. I have, through my early sales career, I would call them so many different things. They're a prospect, they're a client. I would call opportunities clients, potential clients. You know, you'd use all these different words and it would get really confusing. And so now if we've got a very robust directory of names of what we're going to call them. Again, identify what you want them to be within your business, within your team, and then you will be able to support them and nurture them and move them through in the right way possible. Now, I did say we're going to jump into lead gen, which is why I've got coffee today. So when it comes to lead generation, that's when we're trying to identify opportunities to pull into our funnel. So we go from opportunities, we move them into leads. Now, lead generation, they may still be opportunities or leads, depending on how early on we're finding out what is needed or what it is that they're actually looking to do. We're also going to look at what to do when they don't reply. We now know what to do at different stages. I'm going to touch on quickly with the management in the CRM. Now, we use Pipedrive. I've talked about Pipedrive before. I've got a lot of clients that use Pipedrive. And with a lot of these CRM systems, a lot of them are very similar. So if you are listening to this and you are not on Pipedrive, you're using Salesforce, you're using ConnectWise, you're using something else, then a lot of this can still be applied. And definitely go and check out the features and what is going to be available for you. Again, you've got the chat with most of the providers as well as YouTube, which is wonderful for checking out what CRMs do what and watching out for some of those new videos. And as part of our tech sales accelerator course and all of our tech or all of our sales engagements, we always recommend going away and spending a bit of time on learning more about your CRM. So often there's a university, an academy within your CRM. So you get to learn more about the features and tools that are available to you, because I can tell you now, your CRM and your database can do so much more than what you are currently using it for. And I know that about a lot of the systems that I use, and I try and spend more time in those learning so we can make the most out of every piece of technology or every system that we use. It's something that's probably instilled in me from when I was selling tech. My job, as I saw it, was to simplify technology. So if there was a complementary service or complementary technology to something they've already got in place, I would try and work around how we can implement that one, rather than giving them another piece of technology for another piece of technology's sake. Same thing goes for us as salespeople. When we're using different systems, how can we make the most out of them? So we make the most out of the investment, but we also make the most out of our time that we are putting into those systems as well. So when it comes to tracking in CRMs, looking at labels. Now, Pipedrive uses labels to be able to identify and associate different stages of clients. So for example, you may have, warm, cold, hot opportunities. That may be one of the ways you use labels. You've also got in there clients, so maybe industries. You've got different services that maybe they've used as well. Anything that's going to be relevant, have they joined in on a webinar? Same thing if you're using an email database as well. That will be another way of doing it. Marketing will have a little bit more knowledge on that if you're not doing that in your department. But essentially, labels will give us a better way to be able to track. So let's say they've gone from an opportunity to a lead to a prospect. And then into then a client, we want to be able to see where they landed or where we lost them. So in Pipedrive, if I was to go in and search lost opportunities, I'd be able to see why they were lost. Did they go cold? Did they go somewhere else? Were they not quite ready? And what was that lost reason? And I'd also be able to see what they were actually looking for. So again, it will help me to be able to track through and move them through. You've also got your pipeline management. Again, different tools have got different ways of doing this, but your pipeline management is the best way to be able to see them moving through from stage to stage, and also what activities you're attributing to each of those stages. So if you are going through from an opportunity to a lead, what activities do we need to do in opportunities to be able to know enough so we can actually start to look at moving them through? They may go from opportunity to prospect really quickly because we've hit the nail on the head and the timing is perfect. They may sit in lead for a little bit longer. They may sit in prospect for a little bit longer. It's entirely going to be based on whether it's outbound, inbound, and how much time you've spent with them, and also based on timing as well. There is another episode on pipeline management using Pipedrive and also using a freebie tool, Trello. If you want to go back and listen to that, I'll make sure that's referenced in the show notes as well. So you can go back and watch that or listen to that, depending on where you get your episodes, where you're listening to me today as well. Now, within each of those stages, we are then going to be looking at how to qualify them in each stage. We've talked about being able to move them through and why. So we've covered that in that circle or that ecosystem of our lead generation. But just really to touch on lead gen, because I think lead generation is something that's thrown around a lot. Business development is probably what I've always called it. And then lead generation then is where we are focused on generating leads. Business development would be business development time. So if I'm going to spend time doing business development, that's where we are. Lead generation is focusing on new leads being brought into the funnel, whether that be from an opportunity or whether that be identifying opportunities. So it might be opportunity generation rather than lead generation, but you get the gist. You know where I'm going with this. So when it comes to lead gen, there are so many ways for us to be able to do it. Now, if we go back to when I was first selling many years ago, I won't say how many, it's good, and you'll know how old I am. But when we go back to all of those years ago when I was first selling, I remember my first sales job with a Yellow Pages. I was in the UK, we had Yellow Pages, and I used to have a ruler, and I'd put the ruler against the name, the business, I'd have the phone number, and I'd work my way down that list. And I'd go page by page by page. Now, Yellow Pages, I probably should have Googled that before I came on, have a lot of pages. And that was all I got. I wasn't able to, I'm trying to think whether we had Google. I'm sure we maybe did, but probably later on in my sales career. So we weren't really using the internet or technology to find out more information. It was simply Yellow Pages, ringing them, giving our pitch and moving on. I learned a lot about rejection during that time, I can definitely assure you. But when it comes to lead gen, things have changed. So when we look back to how we used to do it, of those Yellow Pages, of those lists, I still see lists being thrown around today. So they're still in use, that's for sure. But we've got the ability to connect with them on LinkedIn. We've got the ability to share information, meaningful, educational content that's going to get them to connect with you and resonate with you on what it is that you actually offer and what it is that you do and the impact that you have. So lead generation, I would say let's start there, because that's going to give you a platform to be able to educate. Now, when you are educating, you're sharing successes, you're answering questions, and you can answer things you've been asked that week or that month. What do you commonly come up against? What do you say, oh, if I hear this question one more time, I'm going to scream? That's the kind of stuff we want to answer through social media. Again, I'm a big user of LinkedIn. You can do the same thing on Instagram and Facebook and all the other platforms, but I'm going to specifically talk about LinkedIn whenever we're talking about lead generation, because most of my clients use it, not so much Instagram. So on LinkedIn, it's a great place to start. Start building your connections, connect with people you work with, connect with people you have worked with, connect with clients you've worked with, connect with clients you're working with, current and present tense, connect with clients you want to, or prospects or leads or opportunities that you would like to work with. Follow companies, find out what other people in your industry are doing in other parts of the country or other parts of the world. You will learn so much more and you'll be able to get so much more out of what it is that you're doing. So starting there is a great soft landing. It's a great place to begin. It doesn't feel that scary. So if you've got a team that are not yet using LinkedIn, then I highly recommend to start there. LinkedIn's a great place to be. And there's so much potential on there. And there's lots of other episodes on the Sell Like You podcast to do with LinkedIn. And I highly recommend you go and visit those. I also interviewed Nathaniel Bibby, LinkedIn specialist. So go back and check out that. That's one of our most downloaded episodes as well. So LinkedIn's a great place to start. When we're finding out information, there's so many filters on LinkedIn where you're able to search. So don't worry about, you know, again, let's pause a moment on the content and on following and connecting and engaging. Let's start looking at the filters. Let's look at who it is we can find, because we can look for a CEO if that's your ideal client. We can look for a CIO. We can look for a marketing manager. We can look for a COO. We can look for anyone. Absolutely anyone. You know, I've been connecting more with event organizers and conference organizers across the world using LinkedIn for speaking opportunities. And so again, I'm using a lot of what I teach. I use that every single day as well when we're trying different verticals or when we're branching out or using or, you know, finding different services and capabilities and offerings as well. So again, the filtering system on LinkedIn is great. If you do ever come up against a limit, if you don't have a paid account on LinkedIn, then I would recommend moving to the premium option. That will allow you to search as much as you would like. But if you are not searching consistently every single day, I'm going to say you're still going to be good on a free version as well. So using the filtering systems, again, you're able to search for job titles. You're able to search then for location, company sizes, industries, keywords, you name it. There's so much in there. And often you'll come up, you know, with 1,000 or even 20,000 or sometimes 1,000,000, you know, people in that realm. Again, filter it down, because 1,000,000 might feel quite a lot. We want to get it down, you know, to that few hundred so we can start really chipping away at those. So starting by finding out more about that industry, think about some of the stories you can use, think about the successes, and go back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast to do with, is it going to be a curiosity thing? So is this something that you're facing? Is this something that you're seeing in your industry or in your business? Or are we going to go straight in with, we're seeing this success, we'd love to know how you're combating this, or we're seeing this a lot in your industry, would you be open to me sharing how we are recommending to overcome that? We've got a freebie tool, we've got this. So thinking about what it is that we can add in to be able to get them moving through as well. Remember that proximity plays a huge part in our outreach. I talk about the power of proximity a lot. Again, especially if I travel a lot, whenever I'm going somewhere new, I will use that to be my anchor point for having those new meetings or getting conversations going. If you're dealing with people who are down the road, tell them you're down the road from them, share with them what, you know, what coffee shop you go to, and maybe offer to buy them a coffee if you can do so. So again, remember that proximity is key, and leverage that to your benefit. If you're in the same country, same state, if you've just moved, if you're moving, think about how you can leverage that as well. So there's so many ways we can just use LinkedIn for lead generation. And then we've then got other ways. So we're going to have their website, we're going to have more intel. If you are selling with partners, so if you're selling in technology, if you're selling anywhere where you've got wholesale resellers, consider the data and the information that's being captured by them, and that's also being captured by their other partners to be able to bring that through. That's also going to leverage so much information. We just did a roadshow with a vendor last year, and we actually did an incredible, we generated over $1 million in pipeline in about 4 weeks. And we did that using leveraging information. So we chose a vertical, we used successes, we went hard on those successes using LinkedIn, email, and phone over a certain period. And then we leveraged the information using an alliance where two vendors play really well together. And we use them to bring that story and that information together. And then we were able to then offer a meeting, offer an introduction, offer a demonstration using the language and the successes that we've seen elsewhere. It was extremely successful because we used gathered information throughout. We didn't just go with one piece of information. We went with lots, and we used our information as well as the vendors, as well as the resellers. So again, bringing that together is that lovely ecosystem of information that we can use time and time and time again. So if you've got partners, if you've got people that have sold in that industry or are currently selling to those clients that are complementary, ask them, get that information. There's no harm in asking for that information as well. Okay. Now, I did say this was going to be a juicy back to basics introduction, foundational level of talking about prospects, opportunities, moving them through to leads, moving them through to clients as well. And we've definitely done that. Now, you may want to listen to this again. I know I talk fast. This is my first recording back in a few weeks, so I'm very excited to be here. Promise to slow it down for future episodes. I will try my best. So again, come back to this episode. You know that consistency in language, consistency in sales is going to be really key to support you and your team. We've covered opportunities, which is those ideal clients that we've identified that we'd love to work with, but we're lacking information or confirmation of a problem. We've got leads, which is our ideal clients with an identified problem. We've got prospects, which are currently or being moved into your lead funnel. And then we've got clients, which are converted and paying. Okay. So make sure you confirm or clarify the language that you want to use within your team, within your business. We've looked at how to track, we've looked at different stages, and also what is that lead generation, how we can leverage that across different platforms, across different information that we're being given. I wanted to keep this episode punchy and short. It's definitely packed full of information. So if you've taken this, if you've liked anything that I've said today, if this has resonated with you in any way and you're going to go away and do it, let me know. I'd love to cheer you on from the sidelines and really celebrate you in actually taking action. I know it is a job that's ever changing. There's so much that you need to do. And I know that time plays that massive part. And we always have time to do lead generation, to do the important things that are going to grow our opportunities, our client pool, our lead generation pool as well. So I hope this was of use to you. Feel free to share it with somebody that is also in sales, maybe a sales manager, maybe a business that's looking to do more in sales. But thank you for having me in your ears. I will be back again. And I'm also going to reference in the show notes a couple of episodes that I think will really benefit you if you liked today's episode as well. So thank you for being here and happy selling. Thank you for tuning into the Sell Like You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe to never miss another one. A huge thank you to Vitality House for hosting today's recording, and I look forward to being back into your ears soon.